Welcome to the first episode of the podcast Sourdough Made Simple. My name is Mary. I'll be your host, and I am the creator of the blog, therosehomestead.com, and the YouTube channel, The Rose Homestead. Thank you so much for joining me. If you are listening, you are probably wanting to start to get into sourdough, or you started sourdough and it became too complicated and you're looking for a way to simplify the process. And that's what this is going to be about. We are going to talk all things sourdough and answer all the questions that I get on a daily basis about sourdough starters and sourdough in general. So I think it's important to start this first episode with what a sourdough actually is. A sourdough is flour and water that is allowed to ferment or sit out at room temperature and capture yeast and bacteria. It's a colony of yeast and lactic acid, which is the bacteria. And what happens is when those two feed on the flour that you feed the starter, it creates carbon dioxide, which is the bubbles and the rise. And eventually, that is what leavens or raises your bread dough. So to start a sourdough starter, all that you need is flour and water. You just put a certain amount of flour and water in a jar or any vessel and cover it lightly. And you want it to have something on top that's breathable, whether it's a loose lid or a coffee filter or some muslin cloth that allows it to capture the yeast and the bacteria and also allows gases to escape. So my method for making a sourdough starter is pretty simple. I just mix a quarter cup of flour and a quarter cup of water on the first day, and then every day after that I feed it up until day three or four. I'll take some out and put in a separate jar to put in the fridge and then feed what little bit that I've left behind. And I'm going to do this until I get some good activity on my starter. Now, typically, people are going to see activity on day three, maybe four, and then the activity is going to drop. That's normal. It's not anything to be concerned about. This is a balancing act that's happening, building the good bacteria and the yeast. You want that to take over anything possibly bad in there, and so it does take a little time. So you may see a little activity at first, get excited, and then it drops, but that's normal. Just keep proceeding. Now, once your sourdough starter is on day five, six, or seven, thereabout, it's going to get bubbly. This is when you know that your sourdough starter is active. That doesn't mean your sourdough starter is mature. And in order to raise bread, your sourdough starter needs to be mature. So generally, to build a mature starter takes at least 2 weeks. So in the meantime, you're going to want to use your starter for recipes that don't require a big rise. Things like sourdough biscuits, sourdough crackers, sourdough pancakes. There are so many recipes that you can use this new starter for. I think the easiest is pancakes, because you just take a cup of starter, an egg, a pinch of salt, some vanilla, and a teaspoon of baking soda, and mix it all up and make the pancakes. They are so delicious. So delicious. Also, the biscuits are incredibly delicious and easy to make. They are available for a printable recipe over on my blog, therosehomestead.com. Just search for sourdough biscuits. You have to try those. Also, the crackers. All of these recipes are on my blog, but the biscuits are my favorite, so you should probably check those out. I get a lot of comments on those. They're so delicious. So once you have used your starter for a couple of weeks and it has grown and you can see that it's active, then it's time to try your hand at sourdough bread. My recommendation is don't start with the sourdough artisan loaf, because there's a little bit more involved in an artisan loaf than a sandwich loaf. Always start with a sandwich loaf and familiarize yourself with the process. It is a process. Unlike conventional yeast, sourdough takes time to rise, and you have to be patient. And I think it's important to learn the timing of your particular starter. My starter may raise a recipe for sourdough bread in 4 hours, whereas yours may take 8 or even 12, depending on how strong it is. And so it's really important that you learn the nuances of your particular starter and that you understand it will change as it matures even more and gets more vigorous. It will change. Your recipes will take less time to make the longer that you use your sourdough starter. So I think that a sandwich bread recipe is the best to begin with, because what's going to happen is you are going to get your feet wet, so to speak, in the sourdough bread baking process. But it's easier because sandwich bread, when it rises, is in a loaf pan, and there's just not a lot that can go wrong like it can with the artisan loaves. Not that there's a lot that can go wrong with an artisan loaf, but you do want to take the time to learn how sourdough works before you get into that. I know people, though, who go straight to artisan loaves and have great success, and then I know people who get frustrated and give up because it was a little more difficult than what they thought that it was going to be. So now let's talk about things that can go wrong with your sourdough starter. Some of the biggest questions that I get are about no activity. Now, it's kind of normal to see activity at first, as I mentioned before, and then it wanes off. But if you're on day 7, day 10, and there's just not maybe a couple of bubbles and that's it, there is probably a lack of wild yeast in your kitchen, or there's something that's hindering that growth. What I recommend to people is to add a few raisins. Raisins are going to jumpstart this process. They're going to give that bacteria something to munch on and build up a little more, and you will start seeing the bubbles start in a day or two. You can take the raisins out as soon as the sourdough starter gets active, and that way at least you get a handle on the actual starter process. I am not 100% sure why this happens, that some people, their starter doesn't activate in a certain amount of time, and then for some people 5 days and it's really active. I'm not sure why, but I do know that there are things that you can do to help it along, and raisins are definitely one of the things that I highly recommend to people. And I get a lot of comments back and replies saying that worked, that did the trick, and that's what you want to see. So keep a few raisins on hand when you are starting your starter, just in case that it doesn't work out. And that way you can add those, toss those in on day 5, day 7, and you will still be able to salvage that starter and get it activated so that you can start using it. The next issue that you might face is one that is quite rare, but it does happen, and that is mold. Now, this is like the worst case scenario when you're making a sourdough starter. And in all instances of any signs of mold on your starter, you need to discard that and start over. But let's talk about what could cause mold to grow on your sourdough starter. Probably the most common thing would be something in the jar or on the utensil that stuck there and decided to grow. And because when you're starting a sourdough starter, the good bacteria and yeast take some time to take over bad bacteria, that can start to grow on your sourdough starter. And usually that will happen by day 3. So one of the things that I recommend is when you're going to start a sourdough starter, wash everything that will touch the starter, including the jar and the utensil that you're going to be stirring it with, the measuring cups that you'll be measuring your flour and water with. Wash them in really hot, soapy water and allow them to air dry. This will usually help take care of anything that might be on there that could cause a problem in the future. This is really discouraging for a brand new sourdough starter person. When you see mold, that's really hard. But I have found instances where people thought there was mold and it was actually hooch. So let's talk about what hooch is and why it's not to be afraid of. So hooch is actually just a byproduct of the fermentation process. What you will see is a gray or black looking liquid that's on top of your sourdough starter. All that this means is that it's hungry. It has eaten all of the flour and it has done all that it can do to ferment that. And now it is telling you, I'm hungry again. And that's your cue to feed your sourdough starter. Now, a lot of people pour this off, but I choose to go ahead and mix it in because there is still tons of good bacteria and yeast in that liquid. So I just stir it in and feed my sourdough starter. I do use my sourdough starter when it's hungry and it still rises bread. Now, a very mature starter will. A very mature starter works remarkably well in any situation. And I know that when you're brand new starting a sourdough starter, that's something that seems way far off, but it actually isn't. It doesn't take that long to build a starter to a maturity level where it is that active and that vigorous. But I recommend that when you see the liquid, if you are keeping your sourdough starter in the fridge like I do, and there's still enough starter in there to use for a recipe, just stir it and dip out what you need and use it, and it will be just fine. If there's not a lot of starter left, I just go ahead and take it out of the fridge and feed it and satisfy it because, you know, it is a hungry. And so I go ahead and take care of that. But I don't feed a starter simply because there's hooch on top. I never have. I only feed my starter when the starter jar gets low. And there is hooch on there throughout that timeline because I feed my starter about once a week. By about halfway through the week, it has the hooch on top and it's hungry, but I just continue using it and it rises the bread and it does just fine. So if you see a gray or black liquid on top of your sourdough starter, never fear, it's just hungry and it's asking you for a little more food. Let's talk about hydration levels of sourdough starter. Now, I'm not going to get all technical on you because this is Sourdough Made Simple, but I think it's important to understand how that can affect your sourdough baking. I prefer to keep my sourdough starter on the thicker side. I've never actually sat down and calculated the hydration of my sourdough starter because I don't measure. But I can tell you that it is not 100% hydration. I always use a little less water than I do flour. I like a thick pancake batter consistency. I find that it becomes way more active and I can tell that it is stronger. Now, some people, they keep their sourdough starter more like at 100% and it's pourable. Mine is not pourable. I mean, it will pour out of the jar, but it's much easier to dip it out with a measuring cup. So you really kind of have to decide that for yourself, how thick, how thin that you would like to have your sourdough starter, but keep in mind, if your sourdough starter is really thin, it will affect the amount of flour that you need to add to your bread recipe. If it's really thick, it also will. So think of it like, if it's more liquidy, you will need more flour. If it's less liquidy, you'll need less flour. So it's always important when you make a sourdough recipe to remember everybody's sourdough starter is a slightly different hydration and it will affect slightly how much flour that you will need in your recipe. But it's not enough to really make you want to sit down and calculate and make it perfect. It's a quick and simple fix to add a tablespoon more flour or take a tablespoon flour less into the recipe. It's one of those things that comes about after you've made bread with sourdough for a while. You learn what the right consistency is, but just know you want a dough that is not too sticky and that's not too dense. You want it to be workable, but not so thick and dense that it's going to make a dense loaf of bread. And that's what I look for. A soft, supple dough is what you are going for when you make up your bread dough. Well, it looks like my time has come and gone for this very first episode of the Sourdough Made Simple podcast. I would like to thank you for joining me today, and I hope that you will follow along and continue to follow the podcast, because I plan on diving deep into sourdough and answering lots of questions and hopefully inspiring you and giving you the information that you need to make your sourdough journey simple. We'll see you soon.